64. The Tombs. Alarms were going off everywhere. Beaten unconscious and left for dead by Jabba's men in the alley adjacent to the Purge's holding cells, Bisley Cloth finally opened his eyes and staggered to his feet, stirred by the shattering klaxons that were ringing out from somewhere in the ship's bridge. He drew a breath and summoned his resolve. His last memory had been of coming down to check on his 39 passengers, who had fallen so ominously silent. Now he found himself staring down at the ragged semicircular hole that had been cut through the vessel's lower hull, leading to the interior of a completely unfamiliar and ornately designed space yacht. Looking down into it, Cloth seized upon the full extent of what had happened with a dreadful clarity. The ship that had attached itself to the Purge was the same yacht that he'd spotted in the middle distance during their approach to Coghive 7. They'd been boarded, which meant the passengers had come with the explicit purpose of facilitating a breakout of... He swung around, pushing his way through the open hatch leading to the holding cells themselves. They stood empty. The prisoners were out.
No!
Cloth's burgeoning sense of dread only seemed to amplify the alarms in the Purge's flight deck. Shaking off the last of his disorientation, he flung himself up the steps, through the gangway, and nearly tripped over the corpse of one of the crewmen sprawled in front of him in a pool of his own blood. The other guard lay face down, 2 meters farther up the corridor. Cloth ran the rest of the way to the bridge and stopped in his tracks. Here the ship's interior reeked of blaster fire and overheated wires. In front of him, the Purge's captain, Wyatt Styrene, sat harnessed into the swivel seat in front of the ship's command suite, his head bowed in apparent contemplation of their fate. Captain! Cloth said, grabbing Styrene's shoulder, and Styrene's head tilted back to reveal his slashed throat. It was only the harness itself that had kept him from tumbling out of his seat. Cloth's reflexes took over. Hardly pausing to consider what he was doing, he unbuckled Styrene's body and dragged it away from the Purge's controls. He seated himself in the pilot's chair and glanced at the screens in front of him, gazing at the prison's cargo bay, to which the prison barge was still attached. What he saw on the monitors made his heart vault up into his throat. Although he could make out very little from this angle, it appeared as though the entire hangar was littered with dead prison guards, dozens of them. In the midst of it, somewhere in the foreground, a shape, Cloth thought it was a hut, sat atop a repulsor platform, gesturing at 2 Gamorreans as they gathered up weapons from the floor. What was going on? There was a sudden concussion from below, like an echo of what had happened earlier. Something else hit the Purge, slamming into it hard enough to shake it from its mooring, and in an instant, all the barge's controls and monitors went dead, plunging Cloth into blackness. Reaching forward, his hands scrambled blindly for the controls, struggling to reactivate them, but it was pointless. The Purge creaked around him. From down below the barge's hull came the brittle snapping noises of steel valves being ripped away, followed by an enormous whooshing pop as the vacuum-sealed suction coupling mechanism broke completely open. Cloth's thoughts flashed to the space yacht that had affixed itself to their hull like a parasite, the pirates who had cut their way into the hold. Then he knew. Dropping to his hands and knees in the darkness, he fumbled his way out of the bridge and down toward the concourse below, moving more quickly now, going purely by memory and sense of touch. By the time he'd reached the corpses of the guards, he sensed that he was very close indeed. Cloth stopped, adrenaline flooding through his body, trying to catch his breath. Slowly he rose to his feet. Sickly green auxiliary lights illuminated the ragged hole in the Purge's lower level. But when Cloth looked down through the hole, he no longer saw the lavishly appointed interior of the space yacht. It simply wasn't there anymore. Something or someone had pried it away, leaving only the ragged hole. But the hole wasn't empty. Cloth stepped back, feeling a low, atavistic horror crawling its way from his belly up into the pit of his throat. Something was coming up through the hole, dragging itself toward him, a figure like nothing he'd seen before. Even among the inmates and wildly varying galactic scum he'd transported from every system imaginable. Cloth stared at it for a moment, held rapt by a power he could neither identify nor resist. The thing's head was covered with a skull, with long sharpened horns protruding out from either side. The hollow sockets where its eyes should have been shone with a primordial blue light.
That's madness. The color of madness.
Whether this was a mask or actually its face, Cloth had no intention of sticking around to find out, particularly as it became clear that the thing hadn't come alone. The hole was full of floating blue eyes. They were making their way up into the purge, and now Cloth saw that he had nowhere to go, and that, in all the time he'd had since waking up on the floor outside the containment cells, he'd failed to secure a weapon for himself. And now it was too late. The things moved toward him like an army of the dead, with terrible determination and strength. Cloth took a step back and stumbled over the body of a guard, failing to catch himself before toppling backward against something sharp and angular. When he looked up again, the skull-faced things had surrounded him.
"Where is he?"
a female voice asked. Cloth looked up at her. The woman in front of him had a shock of pure white hair that seemed to bristle straight upward from her forehead, which only accentuated the expression of dark intensity etched deeply across her face. She had weird, chemical yellow eyes, the color of a dying, toxic sun. Under other circumstances, Cloth thought he might have found her striking, even beautiful. Although right now he was sure, absolutely positive in fact, that she could have murdered him without a qualm.
"Who?"
"The one I've come to meet."
I don't know who that is,"
Cloth managed.
"I don't know who you are."
Staring at her, he fought a wild, irrational impulse to try to explain how all of this must have been some terrible mistake, and how this woman and her skull-faced army must have been in the wrong place entirely.
"This is just a prison barge. I'm only the navigator. I don't know..." Ah!
The slap across his face knocked him back to reality.
"I am Komari Voza,"
the female said.
"And this is the Bandogora. We've come to acquire a weapon."